Mom, I'd like to propose a dinner optimization plan for 2026. Soccer practice every week. Get back late and you're stressed out about making something fast but actually nutritious for dinner. When Ashley's mom picked me up, I noticed that she made Blue Apron. It came in like a little kit. By the time it was ready, I still had shin guards on. And it was real food, fresh veggies, protein, actual flavor. Take her from the younger generation. We're innovators, keeping a couple Blue Apron meals around. Not the worst idea.
Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What better way to kick off this hour than friend of the show from Business Insider, Dave Leventhal. Dave, happy Sunday. Thanks for taking time out of your holiday weekend to join me.
Well, happy Labor Day weekend to you and everyone else, and a pleasure to be with you.
Dave, I have to ask the obvious question. It seems to be, you know, I have to be honest, the last few days I haven't flipped to much cable news. I've been either watching Virginia Tech lose or getting over Virginia Tech losing. So I've not been watching a lot of cable news. But, you know, when I'm at the gym this morning, all three networks right in front of me, and what are they talking about? Biden's speech on Thursday, Dave. So the speech on Thursday, what did it involve, and what's been the fallout from the speech?
What did it involve? It involved sort of this kind of fascinating duality. What you could call it fascinating. You could call it lots of other things too. But it was the speech that, on one hand, was very much in the context of Joe Biden's role as President of the United States, Commander in Chief. The trappings of an official presidential address, as we've seen many times throughout our lives. It was done in Philadelphia, the Constitution, the birthplace of the Declaration of Declaration of Independence. It was something that clearly was, very, very official. And the other side of that coin, Joe, was that it was totally a political speech and something that you would expect more from a campaign as opposed to the president in his official role. So you don't see necessarily a lot of speeches like that, kind of a side note and a bit of a curiosity, but notable nevertheless, is that none of the major networks carried it. So that this was truly a cable news phenomenon in the sense that ABC, NBC, and CBS, they were running sitcoms and game shows and not this address where Fox News and MSNBC and CNN and the others were very much focused on this. So, and that really spoke to sort of the political aspects of all of this in the sense that Joe Biden was going straight after, in a very, very profound and direct way, Donald Trump and Donald Trump's supporters. And because of that, this has kind of been unlike any presidential speech we've really seen, even from Donald Trump in many, many years, if ever in modern presidential history.
And then we heard, I believe last night, the former president also spoke. So both giving campaign speeches about 2 days apart.
Without question, and also in Pennsylvania, and really in Joe Biden's old backyard of the Scranton, Pennsylvania area, too. We didn't hear from Donald Trump anything necessarily new. He didn't make any official campaign announcement along the lines of him running in 2024. He largely played sort of the classic Donald Trump hits in terms of railing against his enemies and definitely talking up, the virtues of what he sees as his ideology, made some very, very strong contrasts with Joe Biden and Joe Biden's speech, and also, too, was there to nominally support some of the candidates who are running in the 2022 midterm elections, including Dr. Mehmet Oz, who's running for U.S. Senate in Pennsylvania in a race that is going to be critical to Republicans having a chance to win the Senate, which, as everyone knows, is divided as closely as we can get right now, truly 50-50, 50 Democratic votes, 50 Republican votes, with Kamala Harris, the vice president, providing that tiebreaker, and because of that, giving Democrats the most bare-bones majority that they can have. Dr. Oz is not doing very well right now, and John Fetterman, who's the Democrat who's running against him, he's up in the polls, and this is a state that Republicans think they can win. If you believe some of the numbers, they should be able to win, but it's not necessarily going in that direction, at least at this juncture, with about 2 months left to go before Election Day. And that's very concerning to Republicans, because if they lose that seat and they lose a couple of others, then game over. The Democrats are still going to retain the Senate for the second half of Joe Biden's first term.
You know, that Pennsylvania election, Dave, is getting so much focus. And now there's a debate about debates within those campaigns.
There sure is. Will there be a debate? If there is a debate, what is it going to look like? John Fetterman had a stroke several months back, and as a result of that, he's having difficulty in certain situations speaking as he once did. So it's, you know, sort of this very novel and in curious situation in the context of politics or an election as to if he did stand for a debate, would he be able to perform? If anyone has known somebody who's survived a stroke, it can be months, if ever, before they fully, depending on the kind of stroke that it was, to be able to return to the point in terms of speech or otherwise in being able to communicate in that way. So voters are going to have to be, you know, very cognizant of this. It's something that has definitely affected John Fetterman's campaign. It's something that has changed the complexion of the entire campaign. And it remains to be seen, Joe, as to whether he ultimately is going to agree, Fetterman, that is, to having a debate, again, in a traditional sense where you would have a moderator and two candidates and free-flowing questions and the like.
And Dave, before we move on, you know, you mentioned how important that election is for Republicans in the Senate. There's also the important Georgia Senate election, where that race a little closer right now than the Pennsylvania, but could go either way. And, you know, as you said about Pennsylvania, both these seats are crucial if Republicans want to take over the Senate.
Absolutely. And that is another one where Republicans see it as sort of a must win. Herschel Walker, the former NFL football player, is running there. And he's running against a sitting senator in Raphael Warnock, who is a Democrat who has had that seat for the past couple of years. And very tight race. One could say at this point that it's a little bit tighter than the Pennsylvania race, but one, too, where Herschel Walker has had some major concerns lobbed at him, certainly from Democrats, and definitely, too, from some Republicans who feel as if he is not the strongest candidate in the world. He has a very kind of rough history where you're seeing political ads left and right about this now, where there had been incidences of violence with his ex-wife. This is something where, you know, he said, hey, look, I was going through some very difficult times. I had some mental illness issues, and as a result, I've gotten beyond that. Don't judge me on that as somebody who is struggling with that. But Democrats are basically saying, do you really want to elect somebody who has held a gun to his ex-wife's head in the U.S. Senate, making decisions on behalf of millions of people? So, you know, that's the debate that's going on in this race right now. Definitely not a traditional campaign in that regard, and a few others.
Dave, something you guys at Business Insider have been doing is this continuous coverage of congressional members of Congress that have violated the STOCK Act. You have an update on that story?
Oh, we do. I think the last time we talked to it, we were probably talking around 60 or so members of Congress who we and other media organizations have identified as violating this particular law, which Congress set up for itself about a decade ago. And it's an insider trading law that basically is trying to tamp down on lawmakers with their personal finances, acting on information that they get because of the fact that they are public officials. And there's a whole variety of different things that go into it, but the one aspect that they just can't seem to get right over and over again is the transparency aspect of this, and being able to, in a relatively short period of time, tell the world what they're doing with their personal money so that we can see Democrats, Republicans, all voters, all Americans, if their personal investments are conflicting with their official duties. For example, if they sit on, say, the House Armed Services Committee and they're buying a whole bunch of stock and defense contractors, well, that may be of interest to some Americans and some voters. And what we've found is that many, many members of Congress, dozens now, that number is now 71, is our latest report, have violated the disclosure aspect of this law, and sometimes have been months or even years late in disclosing the fact that they have made some of these types of trades that could potentially conflict with their official duties. So we have very systematically called out every single lawmaker, and there have been, you know, we always like to talk about, oh, well, there's a false equivalency, and, you know, if you tar Democrats, well, you have to tar Republicans. No, well, if you're looking for something truly bipartisan, Joe, you have found it in this, because we have found so many examples of both Democrats and Republicans either ignoring this law or otherwise violating it for one reason or another. And, you know, the ultimate loser in all this is the public, because, again, Congress set this up for themselves so that the public would have this information, but they haven't been playing by their own rules.
Any movement to ban members of Congress from actively trading when they're in Congress?
There is quite a bit of movement. Glad you brought that up, and something that I suspect we're going to hear a lot about when Congress comes back into session after this long weekend. There is a sort of this weird coalition of Democrats and Republicans, ranging from really, really liberal Democrats like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in the House to very, very conservative Republicans in the Senate, like Josh Hawley, the senator from Missouri, who have effectively gotten right around the same place on this and saying lawmakers should be banned from trading, buying, selling individual stocks where those sales could either on one hand be informed by information that they had gleaned as a result of being an elected official, or on the other hand, where they could make a trade and that could be a signal for others to do something. I mean, there are Twitter accounts and TikTok accounts that actually play off of the trades that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's husband frequently makes. And he is somebody who has traded tens and tens of millions of dollars worth of stocks and stock options just over the past year. So that's really sort of the extreme scenario where lawmakers themselves, their spouses, their dependent children, and potentially even their top staffers in Congress just simply wouldn't be able to trade individual stocks anymore. If they wanted to put their money into mutual funds or exchange traded funds or buy bonds, that would be fine. But they couldn't go out and, you know, while they're voting on an energy bill, buy a whole bunch of stuff in Tesla or the local power company or something of that sort. That's what they're talking about.
I look forward to continuing watching that, as you said, when Congress gets back. Now, Dave, you retweeted this, but I have to ask you, you know, we are in New York State. Former Governor Andrew Cuomo is buying advertising on social media?
Yes, and in essence, he's used, well, not more than in essence, he is in reality using old campaign funds to do this. And it's a very small purchase, a few thousand dollars, but nevertheless, he is seemingly, I don't know if you want to call it on the comeback trail or trying to bolster his image or otherwise signal that he may be back in politics at a level that he's not at now, but in essence, trying to say that, hey, I was treated unfairly, and that was the takeaway from those messages. So a small buy, probably very few people actually saw it. This was not something that was running on television statewide or that you're hearing on the radio. These are digital ads. but definitely curious and definitely an indicator that he does have some cash in in his bank account for his old campaign. He can still use it. He can still draw from it. And if he ever wanted to get back into politics, that would be there at the ready at the state level for him to do, including running ads that aren't for any election purposes per se, but to talk about either policies or talk about himself in this case.
Dave, speaking of cash, you know, we had a member of the comptroller's office on air a few weeks ago talking about, you know, New York State residents go to this website and try to see if there's any of your money that the state is holding on to. And you sent me a story that the federal government is holding on to $424 million of taxpayer money that they're not going to spend or return. Explain that.
Well, to your first point, that website that you mentioned, that's a very good one, and everyone should probably go to it. I have gone to it myself in the past and have found money that, for one reason or another, got stuck and is basically being held by the state. It's your money, and you can go get it back by filling out a quick form. So there's a website for every state, including if you live outside of New York State, for the state that you live in. So kind of a good thing to know to get your money back that you may have lost and don't even know that you have in the first place. But the second issue that you brought up is, yes, there is this fund. It's a presidential election campaign matching fund that you may remember from years and years and years ago when presidential candidates used to use it to fund their campaigns. But it more or less died out after the 2008 election cycle when Barack Obama decided to opt out of it because he felt like he could raise more money and not be subject to the limitations that come with tapping this public money. John McCain did use it, the Republican nominee that year, and he was the last major presidential candidate to do so. Well, where does this money come from? Well, it comes from that little $3 checkoff box that people still can check, and many people still do check on their tax returns. And that $3 goes into this fund, and over the years it adds up, particularly if nobody is using it. So this fund has grown. And it has grown. It still grows by oftentimes millions of dollars every month. And now it's sitting at $424 million, Joe. And nobody's using this thing. Congress, number one, has not repurposed it for anything. They would have to vote and they would have to pass a bill to use it for something else, but they haven't. I've talked to many charities who said, oh man, we sure could use that money to do lots of good. There are some lobbies out there who would love to see that money return to the general fund of the U.S. Treasury so it could, for example, pay down debt. And then there were other government advocates who say, well, we need to reform the whole campaign funding system and that money should stay put and we should reform the system. Although, Joe, as you might expect, there's very, very little appetite for doing that. So, you know, taxpayers may like that money back, too. You know, it'd be great to get a refund. But, you know, $424 million, to put it in perspective, would run the operations for, you know, a fairly decent sized U.S. city for an entire year. That's money that could really do lots of things. It could fund entire government agencies, or taxpayers definitely could get that money back. And that's more than a buck for every American who lives in the United States. So it's real money, even if we're oftentimes talking about government spending and government bills and the billions or trillions of dollars. Still some scratch.
Dave, before I let you go, you knew this question was coming. How do you feel about Thursday?
I feel great about Thursday. I could not be more ready for the Bills season to start. I went to the first preseason game, and when they came back from 14 down and won on a field goal in the last play, of course it's preseason, but man, did it get the juices going. And yeah, I think everyone in Buffalo is just ready for Thursday. Let's fast forward, you know, maybe not too fast to enjoy the long weekend, but yeah, go Bills.
I'm hoping the Bills can hand Sean McVay his first week one loss as Rams coach.
You and about a million other people in the Western New York and Southern Ontario area.
All right. And then the question I've asked every guest, I have to ask you before I let you go. You know, after this, I'm heading to Wingfest to do some judging at Wingfest. How do you like your chicken wings, Dave? When you come home for a visit, how do you like your chicken wings?
Oh, I have always liked them hot and just standard wing. I don't want any barbecue. I don't want any, you know, lemon honey nonsense. Just straight up old, you know, standard chicken wing. And you know, I've got my favorite places too. even everyone will scoff and laugh. I do love Anchor Bar Wigs. I find them to be great, but Bar Bill and Gabriel's Gate, those are right up there, too.
You know, the standard chicken wing, I have asked Congressman Higgins, I asked Sheriff Filicetti, and you, all three of you, said you like the standard wing with blue cheese.
Well, I guess I'm in good company. All right, that sounds good.
All right, Dave, now I have to ask you this, because this is just my curiosity. Is there a go-to place for you in Washington that has wings close? I'm not saying as good, but close to Buffalo quality?
Well, you gotta hike out of D.C. proper. There are very few places that really do it right, but there is a place called Jimmy's Old Town Tavern. Out in Virginia in the suburbs, kind of near Dulles Airport, if you've ever been there. And Jimmy is a Buffalo guy, and man, he makes some good food, and he makes maybe the best wings I've ever had anywhere within a hour drive. Although there is an Anchor Bar up in way up in Maryland, almost on the Pennsylvania line, that they do have a franchise there, and I've been there once, and it's the real article.
Dave Leventhal, always great talking with you, man. I hope you have a great holiday weekend. And again, I appreciate you taking some time out of your holiday to join me.
You and all the listeners as well. Thanks a lot.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report,